Karl Rove is at it again. He's saying J6ers belong in prison. Jesse Kelly joins me to react. Squatters in New York are out of control. They're taking over the homes of just law-abiding citizens. Former lawmaker Mike LaPetri joins us from New York. The Department of Injustice wants the woman accused of stealing Ashley Biden's diary to go to prison for several months. But why are they locking her up? Not the person accused of taking inappropriate showers with a minor. Garrett Ziegler joins us to discuss. All that and more on The Brianna Morello Show. Happy Thursday, everyone. Welcome to tonight's program. We're so happy you're joining us. As always, there's so much to go through. This news cycle has been crazy these last couple of days. We have a stack show with awesome guests joining us. But before we jump into all of that, we've got to go through the headlines. And you guys know, whenever we're going through the headlines, the first place I've got to check out is citizenfreepress.com. That's where Kane and all of his CFP staff are plugging away, finding the latest stuff that you need to see. And also, they have clever headlines. So that is always greatly appreciated. So right now, I'm on citizenfreepress.com, and I'm looking for what's going on. And the first thing that has just caught my attention, of course, is our corrupt federal government. Prosecutors working with the man who allegedly was attempting to murder Brett Kavanaugh, Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Well, it looks like, according to this report, that the man who's being charged with attempted murder is now working out a plea agreement. According to them, they're working out a plea agreement. We do not know specifically the details of it. But again, folks, he's currently pled not guilty. He is the individual who did actually allegedly arrive at Kavanaugh's neighborhood with the materials used to potentially kill him. He was looking to potentially break into Kavanaugh's home and kill him. And again, folks, this is something that many don't really have the luxury of being able to get a hold of. It's a plea deal. You know, the DOJ usually goes after, all these prosecutors usually go after those who threaten those on the left, but on the right, of course, no. And Brett Kavanaugh obviously is a conservative justice, so they're not fans of him. But just to remind our audience too, this individual was accused of bringing a Glock 17 pistol, pepper spray, zip ties, a hammer, duct tape, and black tactical chess rig and tactical knife to Kavanaugh's neighborhood. So many of us are very familiar with the story, but it's no surprise, of course, they're working on a plea deal with him, which is obviously unfortunate, but given everything that goes on these days, it's expected. Let's jump back over to Citizen Free Press's website. That's when there's more going on. This story I thought was really interesting. So a Texas National Guardsman is arrested after what they say, sorry, wrong story, after they allege that he led law enforcement on a chase. He was actually apparently smuggling illegals into the country. This is a story that, folks, we'll let the video play out for a bit. But this is a story that's not getting enough attention too, because again, this is potentially somebody who I would accuse of committing treason. Somebody who's supposed to be a respectable person, a member of our law enforcement, protecting our country, is actually smuggling these individuals allegedly. So this is the footage. Obviously, you see law enforcement dragging this individual out of the vehicle and arresting him. Now, it's interesting in itself because, again, folks, they're alleging that this person was paid anywhere from $5,000 to $6,000 to transport each person into the country. He was armed. And, I mean, it's just, it's not what you want to see. Again, folks, even Greg Abbott's office, the governor of Texas, is pushing back and saying that this individual needs to be charged and needs to be sentenced to law, if found guilty, to a stiff sentencing, because this is something that's egregious. You take an oath to protect the country, to protect the American citizens, and you do the exact opposite. So that's what you're seeing unfold here on this camera right now, this camera footage right now. Let's jump back over to Citizen Free Press. We're going to dive into this a little bit more with Jesse Kelly in just a few minutes. But the Department of Injustice is continuing to go after J6ers and people who literally committed no crimes. They were unauthorized tourists in the Capitol. They were nonviolent. They're not being accused of violence. But the DOJ is still going at them, and they're still going after them, looking for prison sentences. According to Breitbart, the FBI arrested a couple 3 years later, obviously, after they alleged they were inside the Capitol on January 6th for up to 12 minutes. So again, folks, this Virginia couple, they're accusing of being inside the Capitol for 12 minutes. The FBI came to their home around 6 a.m., with cars, flashlights, pounded on the door, were yelling at them to get their hands up in the air, and obviously made the arrest. Let's see. Are these just misdemeanor offenses? Because nowadays, they usually just are. They normally wouldn't do this for average folks, unless you're charged with a violent crime or a felony. But let's keep scrolling. Let's see. What are they charged with? Yeah. Thomas said they were charged with 4 misdemeanor offenses. Normally, folks, when you talk to members of law enforcement, they tell you when you're charged with just misdemeanors, you just turn yourself in. They contact your attorneys and they just have you turn yourself in. It doesn't warrant the FBI coming banging down your front door and arresting you because, well, most people will tell you those are the most high risk situations. So again, folks, again, these are the same minor offenses that they keep slapping J6ers with. And yet they are banging on their door at 6 a.m. with the FBI present. No surprise here at all. It's our new corrupt weaponized federal government. And there's really no checks and balances. No one's stopping them from doing this. And unfortunately, House Republicans aren't defunding the FBI. In fact, they are giving them, you know, more little perks these days. And nobody wants to answer the questions. Nobody wants to get involved in January 6th. I know my colleague, Steve Baker, the journalist over at The Blaze, he's constantly on the ball with all of this. He just comes out and says it like it is. And he's just out here saying that when he's trying to deal with politicians regarding J6, politicians do not want to get involved. And I've had the same experience when I reach out to members of Congress to get them to comment, to help out their constituents, and we get ghosted. So again, folks, they are equally as corrupt as the individuals who are doing all of this. So no surprise in that at all. So again, when you wake up in the morning and you want to know what is going on after, you know, you've read my Twitter page, of course, because you know I've always got the most informative stories on there. You head over to citizenfreepress.com and you give the page a look. I'm telling you, folks, Kane and all of the CFP staffers are constantly plugging away at the headlines and giving you the most important information. So you got to head over to citizenfreepress.com to stay in the know. I know I do these days. We got a jam-packed program for you guys, so don't go anywhere. We've got some great guests joining us in just a few minutes. You guys, I've said it once before, so I'm going to say it again. And under the Biden regime, I've never been more worried about my financial future. I called my good friend, Dr. Kirk Elliott, because I wanted to come up with a plan put in place to make sure I was secure. And he came with a plan for me to invest in silver.
I'm rich.
I've got my silver. I'm feeling so much better about my future. I highly recommend you give him a call and just chat with his team. 720-605-3900. And you could also head over to his website if you'd like to schedule an appointment. It's KirkElliottPhD.com/Brianna. Squatting is all the rage these days, and I'm not talking about the workout. We're talking about squatters. And, well, the most popular location for squatting appears to be New York. And, well, there's been recent developments regarding all of this. If you guys look at what's going on right now in New York City, we talked about on this show, tons of squatters are being called out for just, I mean, it's egregious behavior, right? You're looking to get in to live off someone's property for free, not pay their rent, and the homeowners are locked out. It's disgusting. And let's take a look at the Bronx, for an example. 4 illegal migrants were living in one of these Bronx homes illegally, like I've said before. And, well, what happens, of course, they have guns. They have drugs in the house. Now, apparently, according to police, these 4 individuals who have now been detained skipped out, of course, from their processing appointments with ICE. And they were just hanging out with their drugs and guns inside that Bronx home. Now, again, folks, no surprise here. These migrants also coming from Venezuela, which obviously for New Yorkers, especially in New York City, has been giving many of them quite the headache these days. But it's not just, you know, squatters in the Bronx. They're also experiencing it in Queens, New York as well. And Queens, well, they've been dealing with this and trying to combat this. But interesting enough, there was one case recently, and this had me chuckling a little bit because, well, these residents in Queens were using, and you'll love this one, Shake Shack receipts to prove, and that's proof on their side, that they were actually residing in this Queens home for over 30 days. Now, they were using these receipts, which were, I believe it was on Uber Eats, to say that, hey, we've been living in this house for over 30 days and to claim squatter rights. But the homeowners are completely disputing that. In fact, they're saying that they're living in their $930,000 home for free. Now, the people who they're accusing of squatting, of course, they've presented the courts with a rental agreement, application approval letter, and mail that's been sent to that home. So that's really the issue here, folks. So many New Yorkers are ticked off because, well, they're able to prove this with potentially fake documents and just mail being sent to someone's home. And that's how they're obtaining the right to live there. And it takes forever to fight it off in court, in New York especially. So that's the reason why they're so upset. Now, in New York, they are looking to push back. There appears to be a bipartisan effort, of course, to crack down on all of this. It's Assembly Bill 6894. It's looking to redefine what squatters are. They're trying to redefine squatters as trespassers. And so they're looking to hopefully bring this to law. We'll see how that goes. But I wanted to bring in an expert and a friend of mine to discuss all of this. Let's bring in Mike LaPetri. He is an attorney. He's also a former New York State lawmaker, and he's running for Congress right now in New York's 3rd District. Michael, thank you for joining us. We always appreciate your time. I wanted to talk to you about this specifically because, well, as a lawyer, you understand the legality behind all of this, but so many people in states like mine in Florida don't understand why this is happening in New York. So tell us, how are these squatters gaining rights to live in somebody else's home for free?
First off, it's because New York Democratic government is out of control. That's why. See, all of your constituents and all of your followers are saying this doesn't make sense. Well, you're correct. It does not make sense. And specifically because you have legislation that provides these loopholes to promote these type of squatters, to encourage them in the sanctuary cities in New York City. And then you have a New York State where they're doing nothing. Now, great job. Shout out to Assemblymember Jake Blumenkrantz. He's doing an awesome job out there. We have Councilwoman Vicky Palladino over in New York City is trying to combat that with the city and the state. This is that type of normalcy that people are craving. I remember when I was in the state legislature, as a New York State Assemblyman, I specifically was out there promoting ICE to say, hey, these are the type of people that need to be out there. I rode along with ICE to see what they did firsthand to rid these criminals out of our communities. Law-abiding citizens are saying, why am I even renting my property? Because immediately it's going to be taken away from me and given to them. And guess what? Legislation in New York City and New York State is promoting it.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. They are. And that's what's so interesting here, because they ultimately are siding with these so-called tenants, but they're not really proving that they live where they say that they live. And that's the part that's so confusing here, that some homeowners could be locked out of their property, that someone could just quickly jump on their property, change the locks, claim that they live there, show a fake lease, and then get stuck there. How are the courts not throwing these people out of their homes, or the homes of somebody else, I should say?
And that's what's happening, is they're these squatters and then abusing the court process, knowing that these judges, remember, in New York State too, you elect these judges. So they're all elected. So that means the party, specifically in New York City, is putting in their own people, their own Democratic judges, to encourage this long, drawn out process. And they are exploiting this to the fullest. Let me just say, this is what people need to recognize, is that when you have legislators who are out there to say, go ahead and do this, and whatever you do, you get away with it, whether it be squatting or bail reform or the likes, is those types of legislation and policies will enable this terrible behavior. You will find more and more criminals, more and more vagrants who will exploit the system, and you have those in office who are encouraging it. That is a seminal issue, is we need it now more than ever. We need people in office who are going to deter this wrongful conduct and encourage, right? Encourage the normalcy, encourage people wanting to provide and build their own homes, create a family. Like, that's what we need more of. I mean, that's the reason why you have people like myself who are running for Congress now, to restore that sense of normalcy. That's why I ran for, when I rode along with ICE, when I went with law enforcement to see what they did firsthand. You have to make sure that we have the right people in there that are actually representing us, law-abiding citizens. That's more important than anything else right now. And you're talking about those documents, those fraudulent documents, where it may be. When I was in the state legislature, this is a big issue we brought up, was specifically when they provided driver's licenses to illegal immigrants. One of the big issues I was seeing was to get a driver's license, I could provide expired documents and that would still be permitted to get a driver's license. Imagine that. Imagine somebody here illegally saying, oh, I have years old permit. Oh, here's proof of my of who I am, all that. And that would be accepted. That's current law right now in New York State. That could be accepted. So now you think that these people who are squatting say, oh, this is my home, this is all that, won't be accepted? Of course it will be, because this is the type of behavior. It starts for a little bit. You give them an inch and they're going to take a yard. You can't have that. You have to deter this type of behavior. You have to deter the stupidity, and you have to make sure you restore a sense of normalcy. You and I never get a permit or a license or anything like that if we have outdated, expired documents. Yet for illegal immigrants, that's okay, and they can get whatever they want.
Yeah, well, that's the issue too. And I remember when I was in New York, we were talking about this. They were giving these illegals driver's licenses, and there was no vetting process involved on how to actually vet the documents to see if they were legitimate. It was just whatever they give you, you have to accept. And it was overwhelming to a lot of the DMV workers because, well, they don't want to be taking these documents and giving them driver's licenses in exchange. They don't know who they are. And so many New Yorkers pushed back on that, especially. But again, like you're mentioning, the lawlessness of politicians. They were just Democrats specifically. That's really where it comes down to. They were just okay with just going forward with all of this, and all the legal challenges were getting shot down by the judges in New York State. And so that's what was so upsetting about that. But we have this bipartisan piece of legislation now that they're proposing. Mike, are you optimistic that this might make its way over to Kathy Hochul's desk and she will sign this into law?
If they're smart, they will do that, because that's exactly what they're trying to do, is show that this is a trespass. It's obvious. Everyone knows it. Just put it into law, put the language, sign it into law, and then we have it. And then these then five law-abiding citizens can actually evict these illegal immigrants once and for all from their residence. It's important that this must be done. It has to be done. If you want any semblance of reasonability, it must be done.
It must be done. Thank you, Mike LePetri. Again, folks, I want to remind our audience that Mike is running for Congress. Again, you can head over to LePetriForCongress.com to learn more about his campaign. You know, just to give you a little bit too of a kick in that one, Mike, you and I go back. We were obviously both living in Long Island. You are one of the few politicians who actually gets it and understands it and is willing to fight for it. And I think that's why it's so important for New Yorkers to realize that and to support you. So again, thank you, folks. Head over to LePetriForCongress.com to learn more about Mike. Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it. The DOJ isn't done persecuting J6ers. In fact, they're ramping up still, and they're targeting anyone in their way. And well, they're actually earning the backing of some very unlikable people, like former White House Deputy Chief of Staff Karl Rove. Now, he went, of course, and said this on MSNBC.
I worked in that building as a young man. To me, the Congress of the United States is one of the great examples of the strength of our democracy and a jewel of the Constitution. And what those people did when they violently attacked the Capitol in order to stop a constitutionally mandated meeting of the Congress to accept the results of the Electoral College is a stain on our history. And every one of those sons of who did that, we ought to find them, try them, and send them to jail.
Oh, Carl, so fired up over that. I just. Every time he opens his mouth, I just become infuriated. If anyone should go to prison, it probably should be him. But let's dive into who he's actually talking about. He's talking about J6ers, innocent J6ers who really were just on an unauthorized tour guide around the Capitol. Not everyone was violent that day. In fact, most of them were extremely peaceful. And well, they didn't even know that they weren't allowed to be in the Capitol that day. Because, well, we've seen on plenty of footage, and we played it on the show, Capitol Police are just standing there while they just take a stroll through the Capitol. And well, trials are still underway for people like Rebecca Lorenz. She's somebody who right now is actually having her trial. She's a great grandmother. She's 72 years old. She's actually facing up to a year in prison and up to $210,000 in fines, potentially. And if you're wondering what Rebecca did, Rebecca walked into the Capitol for about 10 minutes and prayed. And well, now she's being persecuted by the Department of Justice. Now, Matthew Graves isn't letting up. He is the attorney going after all of these J6ers. He, in fact, is ramping up by saying if enhancements get thrown out, like we told you on this show, like the appeals court ruled that it was inappropriate for a lot of these enhancements to be added, that Matthew Graves is actually going to go back on a lot of these sentences and ask for more time on just minor offenses. And that's what he's planning on doing. So he's threatening J6ers that if they try to use their appeals process to their favor, he will go back and target them even more. So much to unpack here, of course. Let's bring in Jesse Kelly to discuss all of this. Now, many of you know, Jesse is the host of the nationally syndicated radio show, The Jesse Kelly Show, and he's also the host of I'm Right, which is available on the First as well. And he's the author of the book, The Anti-Communist Manifesto. Jesse, no one else better to bring on than you, of course, for this topic, because, well, we all know what this is. This is a persecution of J6ers, and Karl Rove is fired up and going after them. What's your take on all of this?
Well, I mean, let's be honest, it's not even really a persecution of J6ers. What it is, it's the excuse they've always wanted to arrest and intimidate their opponents on the right. They really don't care about January 6th. They don't think it was an insurrection. They don't believe any of those things. These people are all communists. They want to do what communists have always done. To be honest, they'd rather take you out and shoot you. But here in the country, they have to settle for now for arresting you and sending you to prison. And when it comes to people like Karl Rove, I've explained to people many times that the elites of the Republican Party actually hate you. Everyone watching this right now, they hate you way more than Democrats do. Chuck Schumer doesn't hate you. He doesn't hate me. Why? Because he doesn't ever need us. Chuck Schumer never has to say a single word that appeals to me in order to keep getting elected in the United States Senate in the state of New York. So he doesn't even bother trying. He doesn't sit awake at night and stress about me. But people like Karl Rove, the Mitch McConnells of the world who speak like that, they understand that at least come election cycle time, they have to get up behind the microphone and they have to act like they give a crap about me. They have to act like they care about freedom and the Second Amendment and freedom of speech. And so this simmering anger they've had towards the GOP base has been lasting. It's been around forever for most of my lifetime. And so Karl Rove meant what he said up there. He wants those people arrested. He hates having to placate them. He hates having to talk to them. He despises them. He'd much rather hang out in a mansion with his Democrat friends than deal with some rube who likes guns. So that's really how these people think.
Yeah, it is how they think. And, you know, Mitch McConnell is giving the American people the middle finger by saying, yeah, he'll step down from leadership for now, but he's still going to run. And he keeps going out there and kind of bashing everyone and saying that we're dividing, we're becoming a divided party. But in actuality, most Americans just want to put America first. And that's what he's up against because, well, America's last in his eyes. And Karl Rove is just somebody who continues to go out there and target people. And I love how MSNBC portrayed him as a Republican to make it seem like they were getting some type of opposition opinion in all of this and backing their views that everyone who is there on J6 should go to prison. Now, Jesse, I talked to a lot of these J6ers who are sitting in jail right now, and the conditions that they're in are egregious. Are you surprised at how aggressive the Department of Justice has been at going after these people and even adding terrorist enhancements to nonviolent crimes?
No, I'm not surprised because the communists, look, as I explained, what they already want to do, they want to push it as far as they can push it. And what they're doing right now with January 6th, when it comes to arresting the pro-lifers that you see all over the place right now, when it comes to so many things, what they're doing is they're probing, like in a battle, in a war. You don't just attack somebody's front lines. You probe a little bit. Where are they weak? Hey, let's do a little attack here, a little attack there. They're trying to find out what exactly they can get away with. Okay, we control the DOJ. We control the FBI. We control the media. We have all these institutions now that we completely own. What can we do with them? We have this shiny new car. How fast can it go? And so what they're finding out is how fast they can go, how far they can push it before they get any GOP pushback. And since the GOP is occupied by a bunch of eunuchs, they're finding out that they can get away with a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they are. They are. Are you a backer of President Trump who says that once he gets reelected in November that he is going to issue pardons? Do you think that's something that he should be doing?
Of course he should be doing it. He should have done it before he left office the first time. I'm glad he's going to do it now that he gets back in there the second time. Good. I hope he does. This is something that should have already been done. But it's standard Republicanism, just like all of them. They'll do the right thing precisely once it's too late.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we see that all the time play out. And then also in the House, I had to ask you this question because I'm mind blown at the fact that no one's really going after this. But Congressman Michael Gallagher is someone who's not stepping down soon enough because he wants to resign, but he's stepping down at particularly a time where he can't be replaced before November. It seems obvious to me, but do you think that this is being intentionally done and the reason why House Republicans aren't going after him and expelling him is because they're okay with forfeiting the majority in the House right now?
Of course. I believe they prefer to forfeit the majority, at least the House leadership. You have the good people like the Freedom Caucus people who want to do the right thing, but all the leadership in the House and the Senate as I just discussed, it's not that they hate Trump, they hate you, they hate me, and they're going to do everything in their power to destroy any kind of a majority for November because Trump is up in the polls. And you watch, they'll purposely give up the majority just so the Democrats don't seat Trump, don't certify the election. You watch, that's coming.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that's coming, and I have a I've had an issue with this from the very beginning, and no one wants to answer to it. When you call around to all their offices and you ask them these specific questions, they don't want to get back to you on it. And so it's got a lot of us fired up these days. Jesse Kelly, thank you for joining us. I always appreciate your time. And again, folks, head over to his website right now, jessekellybook.com, and purchase the Anti-Communist Manifesto because, well, it's a good read. Thank you, folks. We appreciate it.
Arrest and intimidate their opponents on the right. They really don't care about January 6th. They don't think it was an insurrection. They don't believe any of those things. These people are all communists. They want to do what communists have always done. To be honest, they'd rather take you out and shoot you. But here in the country, they have to settle for now for arresting you and sending you to prison. And when it comes to people like Karl Rove, I've explained to people many times that the elites of the Republican Party actually hate you, everyone watching this right now, they hate you way more than Democrats do. Chuck Schumer doesn't hate you. He doesn't hate me. Why? Because he doesn't ever need us. Chuck Schumer never has to say a single word that appeals to me in order to keep getting elected in the United States Senate in the state of New York. So he doesn't even bother trying. He doesn't sit awake at night and stress about me. But people like Karl Rove, the Mitch McConnells of the world who speak like that, they understand that at least come election cycle time, they have to get up behind the microphone and they have to act like they give a crap about me. They have to act like they care about freedom and the Second Amendment and freedom of speech. And so this simmering anger they've had towards the GOP base has been lasting. It's been around forever for most of my lifetime. And so Karl Rove meant what he said up there. He wants those people arrested. He hates having to placate them. He hates having to talk to them. He despises them. He'd much rather hang out in a mansion with his Democrat friends than deal with some rube who likes guns. So that's really how these people think.
Yeah, it is how they think. And, you know, Mitch McConnell is giving the American people the middle finger by saying, yeah, he'll step down from leadership for now, but he's still going to run. And he keeps going out there and kind of bashing everyone and saying that we're dividing, we're becoming a divided party. But in actuality, most Americans just want to put America first. And that's what he's up against because, well, America's last in his eyes. And Karl Rove is just somebody who continues to go out there and target people. And I love how MSNBC portrayed him as a Republican to make it seem like they were getting some type of opposition opinion in all of this and backing their views that everyone who was there on J6 should go to prison. Now, Jesse, I talked to a lot of these J6ers who are sitting in jail right now, and the conditions that they're in are egregious. Are you surprised at how aggressive the Department of Justice has been at going after these people and even adding terrorist enhancements to nonviolent crimes?
No, I'm not surprised because the communists, look, as I explained, what they already want to do, they want to push it as far as they can push it. And what they're doing right now with January 6th, when it comes to arresting the pro-lifers that you see all over the place right now, when it comes to so many things, what they're doing is they're probing, like in a battle, in a war. You don't just attack somebody's front lines. You probe a little bit. Where are they weak? Hey, let's do a little attack here, a little attack there. They're trying to find out what exactly they can get away with. Okay, we control the DOJ. We control the FBI. We control the media. We have all these institutions now that we completely own. What can we do with them? We have this shiny new car. How fast can it go? And so what they're finding out is how fast they can go, how far they can push it before they get any GOP pushback. And since the GOP is occupied by a bunch of eunuchs, they're finding out that they can get away with a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they are. They are. Are you a backer of President Trump who says that once he gets reelected in November that he is going to issue pardons? Do you think that's something that he should be doing?
Of course he should be doing it. He should have done it before he left office the first time. I'm glad he's going to do it now that he gets back in there the second time. Good. I hope he does. This is something that should have already been done. But it's standard Republicanism, just like all of them. They'll do the right thing precisely once it's too late.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we see that all the time play out. And then also in the House, I had to ask you this question because I'm mind blown at the fact that no one's really going after this. But Congressman Michael Gallagher is someone who's not stepping down soon enough because he wants to resign, but he's stepping down at particularly a time where he can't be replaced before November. It seems obvious to me, but do you think that this is being intentionally done and the reason why House Republicans aren't going after him and expelling him is because they're okay with forfeiting the majority in the House right now?
Of course, I believe they prefer to forfeit the majority, at least the House leadership. You have the good people like the Freedom Caucus people who want to do the right thing. But all the leadership in the House and the Senate, as I just discussed, it's not that they hate Trump. They hate you. They hate me. Yeah. And they're going to do everything in their power to destroy any kind of a majority for November because Trump is up in the polls. And you watch, they'll purposely give up the majority just so the Democrats don't seat Trump, don't certify the election. You watch, that's coming.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that's coming. And I have a I've had an issue with this from the very beginning, and no one wants to answer to it. When you call around to all their offices and you ask them these specific questions, they don't want to get back to you on it. And so it's got a lot of us fired up these days. Jesse Kelly, thank you for joining us. I always appreciate your time. And again, folks, head over to his website right now, jessekellybook.com, and purchase the Anti-Communist Manifesto because, well, it's a good read. Thank you, folks. We appreciate it. And if you enjoyed that interview, make sure you all hit that subscribe button right now if you're watching on Rumble or YouTube. And if you're listening on any of the podcasting platforms like Spotify or iTunes, make sure you give us a 5-star review. And we love hearing from you guys, so please leave us a comment. We appreciate all the feedback. And, well, if you're looking to support our program, head over to supportbree.com. That's where you can make either a one-time donation or a monthly donation. You can set the dollar amount to anything you'd like. So, again, guys, that's supportbree.com. We'll be right back. I want to let our audience in on a little secret. I'm saving hundreds of dollars each year after switching over both of my lines to Patriot Mobile. Yes, so now my business and personal line are with Patriot Mobile. Now, Patriot Mobile uses the same towers that you're probably already using now, except it's less expensive. So my 5G towers that I love to use my old provider, I'm still using them now. I'm just paying significantly less money to do so. And on top of it all, Patriot Mobile believes in the same things you and I believe in. They have the same morals. So they donate to causes that are like pro-life causes, veteran causes, and even the NRA. It's incredible. So I highly recommend you head over to patriotmobile.com right now, take a look at their plans, and sign up. And today, if you sign up and use promo code Brianna, they're going to waive the activation fee. Yes, you heard it right. They're going to waive the activation fee. Just make sure you use promo code Brianna, B-R-E-A-N-N-A. Prosecutors want the woman accused of stealing Ashley Biden's diary to go to prison for several months. It's the latest report to come out on this story. And it's interesting given the fact that, well, I mean, how many times has prosecutors told judges that they want individuals accused of stealing diaries to go to prison? Well, it's all deeply concerning, of course. But we have to remind you about this story because it hasn't been getting enough attention. You guys might recall, it looks like Amy Harris, the individual who is being charged with all of this, she actually took a plea deal back in August of 2022. She openly admitted to taking the diary, it looks like. She pleaded guilty to taking that diary and the transportation of stolen property. Well, she has been awaiting sentencing, and prosecutors think that she has been pushing back sentencing and prolonging the process. There's been over 12 different court dates that have been set and, well, then, you know, postponed. So prosecutors are a little fired up. They're a little upset. They're a little angry over the issue. And so now they're requesting that she goes to prison for 4 to 10 months. And they're also saying that if she doesn't show up to her next date, which is April 12th for sentencing, that they're going to request that there is a obstruction of justice enhancement tacked on as well. Now, many of you guys might recall the Ashley Biden diary was found and was sold to Project Veritas. James O'Keefe spoke about it. His home was raided, as many of you guys might recall. It was sold for $40,000. But Project Veritas never ran the diary story. It was taken on by another media outlet who did publish those documents on their website. But it was all concerning because, well, what was in it really had a lot of people upset. Ultimately, Ashley Biden, in her diary, is accusing somebody of molesting her. Then she moves on to discussing on that same page that she did take inappropriate showers with the President of the United States at a very young age. And so a lot of us had so many questions for Ashley and for, obviously, her father, Joe Biden, but nobody wants to ask them. And while I reach out to the Department of Justice, and I also reach out to prosecutors to figure out if any of them have ever questioned Ashley on these allegations that she herself has written in her diary, and nobody got back to us. How strange. Joining us now to discuss all of this is Garrett Ziegler. He is the former Trump aide, and as well, now he is the founder of Marco Polo. Garrett, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much for having me. This is a wild topic.
Yeah, it is. It is, in fact. And, you know, people aren't really discussing the content in the mainstream media right now of what was in the diary itself. They're just reporting on the fact that it was stolen. And for so long, we actually didn't even get these individuals to admit that this document was legitimate, that this diary was real. And it was just recently brought to my attention, and I wanted to play it for our audience, that Project Veritas actually got Ashley Biden on the phone, and she actually admitted that this was her diary. So let's take a listen to that.
Hi, is this Ashley Biden?
This is she. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, I just wanted to, so I heard you have a few of my belongings, and so I was going to ask if it would, if you could please meet my friend, Eric, who is down in Delray, if you could meet him and get this up to him.
There's a diary here. It starts in January. It says, January, at the end of a New York month, I'm sitting on a bed at the I building.
Yeah, so if you could just give everything that you have to Eric, that would be really great.
I don't want to give this to the wrong person. I mean, I want to make sure...
At this point, and I don't mean to... I don't want to have to get Secret Service involved in this, right? Because it just is, it's a whole process.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I am Ashley Biden. It is my stuff. So if you could just skip all of that over, I would really appreciate it. I know you sent a picture to my husband with a camera and mm-hmm. a few other things that are mine as well. So that would be really great. Where is a good place for him to meet you?
There's also this bag with luggage tags on it. And so is that bag, because there's all this stuff. Is that bag yours too, Ashley?
Yes, it is.
So, Garrett, what do you make of all of this? Because I remember just, you know, the federal government wasn't really confirming any of this. And we have these recordings of Ashley saying that this does belong to her. So you've been studying this for quite some time. What do you make of all of it?
Yeah, so this is, again, a wild story. Marco Polo, I think, has covered this more closely than any other group on Earth. A couple of things right off the bat just on that video. Number one, she makes a tacit threat to Eric Cochran to get the feds involved. You saw the Bidens view the Secret Service as their own personal police force. The Secret Service has visited me here at my home trying to talk to me about our report. Of course, I didn't speak with them. I sent them to my attorney. So there's a history of the Bidens using the SS for their own personal favors. That's number one, based on that video. That is nuts that she would say that. Number two, the guy that she alludes to in that video, Eric Dangler, she says he's her friend down in Delray. He has since died of an overdose. Same thing happened with one of Hunter's hookers. The people that do drugs and prostitution with the Bidens, they get pinched by the cops or they die. The Bidens have a way of sneaking past any accountability in their entire life. Number three, we, like you, are concerned about the contents. Although the story of how it all happened is interesting, and we wrote about it for 5 pages in our report on the Biden laptop, 5 whole pages on Amy Harris, Robert Kurlander, Spencer Meads, Eric Cochran, James O'Keefe, all of the feds involved, the corrupt assistant U.S. attorney, Mitzi Steiner, who just made that submission that you alluded to. Although that backstory is interesting and the law enforcement abuses are utterly egregious, Marco Polo was concerned with the contents. And so, as you alluded to, National File published the entire scanned PDF, 112 pages. And all we did, and this has really gotten under Hunter's skin because he's suing us about this in part, he mentions it in his lawsuit against us, that all we did was transcribe the diary. So at BidenDiary.com, you can read all 112 pages, and we transcribed it exactly. We took months to do this, by the way. There's not one error. And in fact, we put little asterisks by notes, so allusions to certain people like Eric Dangler, rest in peace. There's another guy in Long Island named Kevin Linane. Ashley was having an affair with him. He's married, and his wife is a writer at USA Today. There are all these allusions that we spent weeks going through, trying to figure out who the proper nouns are. What I building is she talking about? Who is she? I mean, in this, you not only have the sexual abuse, but remember, she was in rehab at this time. So this diary was a cathartic experience, probably something. She was at Caron at the time, C-A-R-O-N. It's a highfalutin rehab facility. It's highway robbery mostly. But you can bet that counselors were telling her to write all this stuff down. So we have really a two-track mission with this diary at Marco Polo. Number one, put the contents out of the diary in the most legible form, because actually, apart from just being on cocaine, her handwriting is that of a physician's, like her husband, who's the plastic surgeon, who probably gave Joey that terrible facelift, Howard Krein. So you couldn't read her handwriting, right? So we're the nerds that actually took the scanned PDF and we went through and transcribed the entire thing and put it online with zero commentary. And what this has done is it's proliferated the contents, which show that she took probably not appropriate showers with her daddy. We've been trying to find, I know this is a monologue, but we've been trying to find the family whose house apparently she was molested in. There's a name that she mentions, Woolzacks. I think she misspells it, but it's W-O-O-L-Z-A-K-Z-A-C-K. And we've looked everywhere. We've had multiple private investigators look at every single person with this surname in the United States. And we have pretty good reason to believe that she's misspelling the name and it's something else. But so you have the first daughter. Remember, she's the only first daughter, the only child of the first lady and the president. Admitting that he was a perv. I mean, this is somebody whose own daughter said that this was a traumatic experience for her. And I don't want any of your viewers to think that this was a 13-year-old girl's diary, right? Ashley was 37 when she started this thing. So we're not picking on little girls. This isn't something that, you know, as reporters, as writers, as authors, we have an absolute duty to talk about the contents. And so this is like an 80-20 split. We try to spend 80% of the time on what it says, what's in the diary, versus this 20%, which the feds are focused on. Remember, this has been verified. And you know, this is exclusive, as they call it. We figured out a link between E. Jean Carroll and this saga. The attorney for E. Jean Carroll is a very portly woman named Robbie Kaplan, first name Roberta, and she is one of the high-powered lesbian lawyers in the United States. She actually argued the so-called gay marriage case at SCOTUS. That's why I bring it up. And Roberta was not only E. Jean Carroll's lawyer, but Roberta was Ashley Biden's lawyer, who referred this matter to the SDNY. So the SDNY is the entity submitting that sentencing submission about Amy Harris. They're the ones that got the plea deal with Robert Kurlander, who's trying to be basically a snitch on James O'Keefe, because remember, they're after O'Keefe. If they even get 4 months of prison, they'll be happy. So there's a lot to talk about, but I wanted to cover everything on the top.
No, there is a lot to talk about. That's why I'm glad you kind of walked us through it, because there's so much to go through. It's disappointing because, like you mentioned, number one, she's an adult when she wrote this. Yeah. I think it's really important to put it out there. But she also deserves justice. Listen, if you're somebody who is a victim of a sex crime, you definitely deserve justice, and you definitely deserve to have, whether it's your day in court or some way of doing so. So I don't like the fact that we can't even sit here and ask her questions. And like I mentioned in my opening, I've reached out and asked prosecutors whether they reached out to her to ask questions regarding this, and none of them did. None of them did respond back to me, which tell me probably they didn't do so. But why do you think Joe Biden hasn't been confronted at all over all of this? And this has been going on for years now. Why do you think the so-called journalists that are in front of him all the time refuse to ask him the hard questions regarding these allegations of inappropriate baths with his daughter?
I think it's a multitude of factors. Number one, most of the credentialed press, they protect Joey so much. He's hardly ever in a situation where the White House press corps is not around him. He doesn't get around local press at events. They don't take questions. If he goes to talk at a manufacturing facility in Milwaukee, unlike President Trump, he's not just going to be able, local press isn't going to be able to ask questions. So there is a strong incentive for that cabal of White House press credential people to not do anything that will get them kicked out, because that White House Correspondents Association is a cabal, and they will snap at you and try to, and basically excise you if you put the regime on their back feet and ask them basic, simple questions. Another basic question they never asked Joe to his face, they always ask Jean-Pierre about how many children or how many grandchildren does he have. I'm not sure you know this, but I was the witness for the mother of Hunter Biden's child in that child support case down in Arkansas last year. Mm-hmm. And nobody during the whole pendency of that case ever asked Joe, how many grandchildren do you have? This is a basic question that Joey would stutter over, right? And he stutters normally, but he would stutter extra if he were asked this. So it's cowardice, love of pension, love of being in the cartel known as the White House Correspondents Association. Yeah. And it's the practices of the handlers. They do not want Joey free-forming with you know, reporters and just going back and forth. They want to protect him. And, you know, one person that we, and I'm answering your question by saying we have truly focused on one assistant U.S. attorney named Mitzi Steiner. Mitzi Steiner, ASUA in the SDNY. She is the lead, she's the head honcho on this. And remember, they had Project Veritas had a whistleblower within the FBI who categorized Project Veritas as a news organization within their own software system. And this is key Brady material. If they pinch O'Keefe and he goes to trial, this is key Brady material the U.S. government has to disclose because it's exculpatory. Why is it exculpatory? Because in the filings, the SDNY said that Project Veritas was not a news organization. Thus, they weren't entitled to protections, namely that Merrick Garland or Monty Wilkinson at the time had to sign off. The AG, under their own regulations, has to sign off on any search warrant of a reporter's materials, anything. And that didn't happen. So that means that they didn't classify Project Veritas as a media organization. And a whistleblower within the FBI showed them a screenshot of their classification within the FBI as a news organization. So there is so much meat on the bones here. And Mitzi Steiner is a good person to ask questions to the public. We've already posted her email address on our website. There has to be, they have to be inundated with this. I've never, and we look through the case law, they're charging them, the plea deals are under 18 USC 371. I know that statute very well because Hunter and his associates violated it all the time. They're getting them on conspiracy to transport stolen property. We have never found a standalone case in the SDNY on that didn't involve drugs or guns or other material. Meaning, like you said at the beginning, this is unprecedented that a personal item like this, not jewelry, right? Something with no intrinsic value monetarily would ever be charged with this. And how do we know this went down? Because we have email traffic between Roberta Kaplan to Strauss, the acting U.S. attorney in the SDNY, huge liberal, and we have it 2 days before the 2020 election. So Bill Barr was a horrible AG. One of the reasons is that this whole fiasco, and this is a wrinkle in this, this whole fiasco was done under Bill Barr. He was the AG when this investigation started, and it just continued under Monty Wilkinson and Merrick Garland. These are all nuances that very rarely get out there, but were put in our dossier.
Yeah. Well, Bill Barr has a lot of explaining to do these days because it's not just that, for an example. We talk about it all the time, but the election fraud. I mean, he refused to investigate legitimate claims of election fraud and even challenges. He didn't even want to go after challenges, and he would have won, but he chose not to do so. And that's the reason why we see people like Jeff Clark, who's a former DOJ official, being targeted by the DC bar right now. He's having his trial underway. They want to just bar him because he pushed back when Bill Barr refused to do his job and he stepped up to the plate. So we see it time and time again. So it's really no surprise there. And you mentioned Kaplan again, our audience is familiar with her as well, because there's a lot of questionable situations with her. It's not just the Jean Carroll allegations either. She seems to play and pop up into really
she's
politically
awful.
Motivated situations.
We track
awful.
Her. We track her and Abby Lowell. One more thing that hasn't been publicly reported besides Project Veritas, they touched on this. At the time, Robbie Kaplan was, at the time this all went down, the email that she sent about sending it to the SDNY was in October of 2020. At that time, she was the personal attorney to Melissa DeRosa, who was the daughter-in-law of the acting U.S. attorney, Strauss. So Audrey Strauss okayed the start of an investigation, her daughter-in-law was represented by that hag named Robbie Kaplan. Also, her deputy at the law firm, Michael Ferrara, just ended a stint at the SDNY. So they put out a great graphic. We posted it in full in our dossier. It's on page 392. If you want to go to that page, I think it's a great page because there's a photo from the laptop in that page of Ashley standing behind Joey in 2018 at a Biden Courage Award thing. If you want to zoom in on that graphic up there, it covers the top half of the page. You'll see they make a great schematic of the connections between Mike Ferrara, Roberta Kaplan, Melissa DeRosa. By the way, she was the top aide to Cuomo. Another pervert. Ask you.
Yes. That one went off quickly. I just have to quickly say.
Here's another angle to all this. The SDNY made the search warrants secret, so Google and all the tech companies legally couldn't tell Project Veritas that they had received a subpoena until years later. This is tyranny. Missy Steiner is a Bolshevistic terrorist. She's using legal terrorism on people. I haven't been raided yet, but James O'Keefe, Spencer Meads, Eric Cochran, Missy Steiner tried to wreck their lives based on reporting. This is a matter of public importance. The president of the United States was accused, not by somebody in 1991 of playing... of groping her on the behind. Sorry to be crude. This is his own daughter. And the fact that they did not classify to the judge, remember, if what I'm saying is true, and it is, but it'll be confirmed in due time, Missy Steiner committed perjury multiple times to a federal magistrate court. One thing we posted on our website is that we have to take a hard look at magistrate courts and magistrate judges, because what the assistant U.S. attorneys did in this case is very interesting. When they got warrants to look at their email accounts, to do raids, all of this stuff, they went to different magistrate judges on each time. It's very clever, very sociopathic, very evil, because unless the magistrate judges talk to each other, they don't know what's going on. So one magistrate judge, Sarah Cave, can look at one search warrant and say, you know what, this is like on the edge, but I'm gonna say that you have probable cause here and sign off on this. But then they went to another one. So if they went to the same magistrate judge, and by the way, these folks aren't confirmed by the Senate. In our lawsuit with Hunter Biden, we made a motion for recusal for this far left judge named Hernan Vera, who Joey had to appoint three times, and he got in 52-46. 3 months after Joey appoints him, he gets assigned to our case. If Hernan Vera figuratively steps on my neck with his boot, at least I will know that Hernan Vera did so with 52 votes from the U.S. Senate. Sarah Cave violated the civil rights, and I'm not even close with any of these folks, by the way. I just see things as they are, right? We pursue the truth. I'm not friends with the Project Veritas guys. This was they got buffaloed, and I see them bleeding figuratively, and I want to talk about it. Sarah Kay violated their civil rights, and she's not even confirmed by the Senate. This is just a magistrate judge appointed by district judges. We need to abolish magistrate judges. And if we need to confirm more district judges in the U.S. Senate, well, the U.S. Senate better get to working on some Sundays for once in a while. You know, I go into these tangents because this type of fiasco can only occur when all of these different levels failed. The level of search warrant probable cause failed them. They were failed at the Kurlander step, who is just interested in money. Remember, Robert Kurlander is one of the two people who pled guilty, not Amy Harris, who, by the way, Amy Harris was in a tough spot to begin with. She's a drunk. She got pulled over for DUIs multiple times, some within the last year. And her motive for bringing the diary forward was in part to pay lawyers' fees. That money that came from Project Veritas didn't even go to Amy Harris. It went to her divorce and child custody attorneys. So you could say she had sort of a gray moral motive here. She was trying to do good. She was at least going to give the money to somebody that she owed, namely her lawyer. This Curlander figure, his sentencing has been basically kicked down the road 6 months out. They want Curlander to roll over on James O'Keefe, Spencer Meads, and Eric Cochran. That's what they're trying to do. We know these folks. We know Mitzi Steiner is dirty. She's involved in the worst things in the SDNY. She is corrupt. If DJT gets back in, she will leave on day one. She won't even make it to the second day.
Well, I want to ask you, obviously, I'm well aware of Project Veritas being considered a nonprofit, and that's how they've operated over the years. Is that why they went around, or is that how they went around the journalist approval that they had to get to go after James O'Keefe and his staffers?
It's a good question. No. The short answer is no, and the only reason why I can answer that question is because we finally, after a couple of years, have the letters that Mitzi Steiner and the other assistant U.S. attorneys wrote to the magistrate judges to get the warrants. Now, we don't have the affidavits, which is what we want. The affidavits from some of the FBI agents, namely John Vorderis, that's one that we want. We put him in our dossier, along with Dom Healy, who picked up the diary down in Florida after a lawyer for somebody linked to Project Veritas gave it back. And we actually FOIA'd the Delray Police Department. And I can give you this link after we get off the line. And I want you to post it because we FOIA'd the Delray Police Department and got the police report and the body cam footage from the Delray City Police Department, showing them taking the diary and her luggage back in December of 2020, 2 weeks after, or 6 weeks after the election.
Did you publish that footage yet?
We did. It is, we need help on getting it out there. And so that's why I'm grateful you're having me on to talk about this, because it's going to get renewed interest. Amy Harris, I don't think, is of their ideological bent. Meaning, I think she's more of a conservative than Robert Curlander, and thus Curlander is going to be more apt to strike a deal, to not have time in the clink. And to be objective, Amy Harris has acted irresponsibly since her plea deal. They should have never taken the plea deal. It's totally ridiculous. Make this thing go to trial. If it goes to trial, the diary is going to be talked about a lot more. And secondly, she has since gotten DUIs, has not talked to her Criminal Justice Act appointed attorneys. So she's been kind of fly by night. I don't have any connection to any of these folks. So you have a troubled soul in Amy Harris, who's on drugs and the drink. And then you have Robert Curlander, who, based on his own text messages with Harris, was chiefly concerned with making a blank ton of money off of this diary. So again, the chain of custody is interesting, but it's not as material to the actual contents. And the actual contents are what's making the SDNY come down hard on these folks. Yeah. It is disgusting.
It is disgusting. We're obviously in an election year, so you'd think that people would bring this stuff back up, but they choose not to. I think what's the most disturbing part in all of this, but you're doing great work, Garrett, and revealing all of this and walking through it all. Let our audience know where you have a couple of websites. So I'll let you pitch all of your websites right now where people can head over and kind of go through all of this.
Well, thank you again for having me on. Everything that I talked about with the diary, the Biden laptop, can be found at MarcoPolo501c3.org. That website has hyperlinks to our email database, which Hunter Biden is suing us over, which has all the emails from the Biden laptop. Think of Marco Polo as a digital repository. That's basically what we've created. All the photos from the device, all the emails. We transcribe the diary, and we release SARs from an insider, JP Morgan. So we're on the Bidens. They're suing us for millions of dollars, all for frivolous stuff, and we're going to win eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what they seem to do these days. I mean, it's all lawfare, and it's going after people who speak up and going after them to bankrupt them as well. And so we've seen this time and time again. So there's really no surprise here.
Yeah, I wish if you want to help us with that, sorry to cut you off, but if anybody wants to help us with that, they can go to fightbiden.org. That has all of our info on the lawfare, fightbiden.org.
fightbiden.org. Yes, that's where they could go to help your legal fight. We appreciate it. I mean, there's just so much to go through. So we're going to have you back on and walk through all of this, because this is really, it's detailed and there's so much to go through. And it's always, there's always new developments. And so we appreciate your time, Garrett. Yeah. We're looking forward to having you back on the program soon.
To celebrate the new year, we're having the biggest sale ever on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, save 60% on our Goose Down Comforters, the best comforters ever. They go perfectly with our MyPillow bed sheets and duvet covers. Save 25% on our brand new kitchen towels. They're made with the same technology as our famous My Towels. Our initial quantities are extremely low, so get them now before they go. Our seasonal flannel sheets are finally in. You save up to 50% and they sell out fast every year, so order now. They're truly the best flannel sheets you'll ever sleep on. Or save up to 80% on all our clearance items. And this is where it gets even better. For a limited time, your entire order ships absolutely free. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use that promo code to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products. And for a limited time, your order ships absolutely free.
Yes, guys, you have to give his bed sheets a shot. I'm telling you, the Giza bed sheets, game changer. I love them. I've gifted them to friends and family, and they love them. So again, guys, head over to MyPillow.com. And when you use the promo code BREE, that's B-R-E, you're going to secure up to 66% off. It's the best promo you guys could use. So make sure you use it before checkout. It's BREE, B-R-E. And again, if you want to look to support our show and support Mike Lindell, you got to head over to MyPillow.com. Now, we greatly appreciate you all tuning in with us tonight. We look forward to having you back on the program with us again on Friday. Thank you for tuning in.
In a world where technology surrounds us, our exposure to EMR, or electromagnetic radiation, is higher than ever before. With over 400,000 cell towers and antennas in the United States alone, not to mention Wi-Fi that runs 24/7 in our home, cell phones that are carried in our pockets hours on end, and hundreds of 5G satellites in our orbit, common complaints are ringing in the ear, sleep deprivation, heart palpitations, insomnia, and so much more. Start protecting yourself now. Introducing Redemption Shield, your EMF protection products. With over 700 five-star reviews, Redemption Shield is leading the way in shielding and grounding products. Taking inflammation out of your body with grounding bed mats, grounding bed sheets, hats, scarves, Wi-Fi router covers, cell phone bags. Come and see us today at RedemptionShield.com and get grounded and shielded. RedemptionShield.com. Use code BREE and save 10%.
And if you enjoyed that segment, make sure you hit that like button. And if you want to see the news before it becomes the news, you have to subscribe to our channel. And well, if you have a liberal friend that you're looking to save, make sure you share this content with them.